in Christ. That I'm made alive in him. That I have new creation. I am a new creation in Christ. I am sozoed. I am totally healed. I am totally delivered. I am totally set free. Now, the manifestation of that has to do with the other word, which is dunamis, the power of God. See, the more I can accept the healing of God and more I can accept and receive that, then the more of the power of God is revealed in me. So more of the power of is revealed as I release myself to recognize my salvation. Okay, so verse 21 of this same passage, for since the wisdom of God, since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. So salvation comes to those who believe. Sozo comes to those who believe. So total healing, total deliverance, total being set free comes to those who believe. So the responsibility we have is a responsibility of faith. Amen. See, God says, I'm providing healing, but the healing is for those who will believe. See, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, those that come to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So the reward isn't to those who say, Lord, I'm sad, help me. It's the Lord's, it's those who come to the Lord and say, I know you're able. Help me. See, there's a difference in coming to God with sadness, and there's a total transformation of coming to God in faith. See, the whole thing is I had to learn how to pray. Because before I knew God, my prayers were always prayers of desperation. Oh God, I need your help right this moment. Not something coming down the road. It was always when something tragic happened and I'm in the bad time right now. Oh, Lord, I need your help right now. God didn't come through for me. Well, you ask God in fear at the last minute. You knew you were entering a problem when you started what you were doing. But then a prayer at the last minute with no faith, just desperation. We want God to come through. But those that come to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. To believe that he is means that before I make a bad decision, I say, Lord, what should I do with this situation? And then the wisdom of God comes on me and I don't make the bad decision. But the message here is to those that believe, he's revealing himself. I want you to turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. We're talking about today, we've talked about sozo and dunamis, and we talked about the cross and the foundations of the cross, but now I want to take on the issue of redemption. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say the word redemption. Redemption. When I was a kid, we would go buy a soda that came in a glass bottle, okay? How many of y'all had glass bottles? All right. Trying to make sure who's in the room with me. All right. Glass bottle. And I would always read at the top, C-A, redeemable. California redeemable, and then a little price at the end. This bottle is redeemable. In other words, there's a value to this bottle that after it's been used up for your purpose, that does not mean this bottle's life is over. There's a whole nother life, and there's a price to be paid that will bring redemption for this bottle, and this bottle will go from your purpose that you used it for to a new purpose that you're not aware of. Amen? So as an individual who lives in the world, we know, we talked about the fact that every human being, no matter how beautiful, no matter how smart, no matter how intelligent, no matter how gifted, every single human being born of a husband and a wife or a man and woman or whatever you want to put it, even if you came out of a test tube, your DNA says that you are a sinner. It's written into your DNA. At the fall of Adam, all humankind was genetically changed to have sin as an imprint on our inward parts. We are born that way, no matter what. So somebody says, you can't tell me because I was born this way. I'm telling you, yeah, I know you was born that way. I agree with you 100%. You was born just that way, which is the evidence that we're born in sin. It's the evidence that we are all under sin. So that life I have, that I live under sin, God has printed on me a redemption price. See, those bottles all had that price written on them. There's a price for this redemption. There's a price to be paid. There's a price that somebody's going to have to give out in order to buy this bottle back and have it redeemed and have it have some new purpose. And see, I was a person living my life, and one day God revealed the price of redemption for me. See, you were living your life, living your own way, doing whatever you do, and God revealed there's a redemption price for you. There's a price that God is willing to pay in order to have your life and use it for His purpose. But you don't have to redeem it if you don't want to. You can put the bottle in the trash. You can never take it to the recycling center and actually have the price paid for it. But if we choose, if we believe in the redemption, then we will take and present it to those who will redeem it for us. And so redemption is the practice of exchange of one thing to someone else for a price. Okay, there's a passage, and again, I don't have my stuff to lean on here, that says that we've been bought with a price. Yeah. And that's the blood of Jesus. Yeah. We've been bought with a price. Know ye not that you are not your own? But you've been bought with a price, and that is the blood of Jesus. See, the price of your life is the blood of Jesus. The price of transformation for our lives is the blood of Jesus. Now, once that price is paid, God now has available to you everything that's in the new life. See, the old life had to do with before you were bought. Now that you've been bought, there's a new life. Let's think of this in a negative sense that we all can connect with. The negative side of this is slavery. That I'm a free person and somebody takes me into captivity, someone else buys me, and my life is changed forever. But what God did is the reverse. God took us who were slaves of sin, bought us, sold us, and now we're free forever. Amen. See, it's the opposite. You were once slaves to sin, but He has now paid a price of redemption and set us free from sin. Now, my relatives, I did some genealogical research recently, and I found some of my relatives. Some of my relatives who were set free from slavery in 1863, but who were living as sharecroppers on the land where they were once slaves. They were still there. Then I found some other relatives who were also set free, who didn't stay there and moved. They left that land. Now, they're both free. But one's got a different life than the other. One of them is still doing the same things they did when they were a slave, even though they're free. The other has left that place and gone to a new place and has a new life. Amen. And put that behind them. That is what redemption is all about. Amen. Redemption is about when the cross sets us free. We are free in Jesus. We are free indeed. And when we receive that freedom, will you stay a sharecropper or will you move on? Will you continue to farm the land that the enemy had you farming all those years when you were in bondage? Or will you say, no, not today. I'm out of here. I'm going on to the new life. Yeah. I'm leaving this place. There's somewhere else for me. I'm no longer restricted to this place. See, redemption. Redemption is more than just thinking about, oh, I'm a Christian. No. Redemption means there is a new life available to me. No matter who I was, what I was, no matter what, there's a new life available. There is a brand new life available. And it doesn't make a difference if 10 generations in my life or my family were slaves. Amen. I don't have to be. I don't have to be a slave. I don't have to be a slave of sin. I do not have to be a slave of sin. Say, I do not have to be a slave of sin. And remember, sin is not just the things that we do. Sin is the nature, the genetic DNA nature that's in you that says, I don't care what you used to be, you don't have to continue to be that. Amen. I'm a lazy person. You don't have to continue to be a lazy person. Amen. Let's take it to the next level. Let's not just talk about, I don't do this. Let's not talk about that. Let's just count that as sin, as settled. Okay? Romans chapter 6 says, you're no longer a slave of sin. You're now alive to Christ. So let's not talk about sins. Let's talk about the limitations on our lives. Let's talk about those other demonic oppressions that come to set us down, that come to defy us to be great in the things of God, that call us to try to just say, you know what, you're too tired to do unto the Lord. Oh, well, what you have to offer isn't good enough. Let's think about those things. And let's face those things and say, nope, I am redeemed. Amen. I'm redeemed. I have something to offer. I have something to give because I'm a free person. I have no obligation. I have no obligation to this church, another church. I don't have obligation. I give what I give as unto the Lord freely, gladly. Why? Because I'm free. Amen. I won't be called into bondage. I am free. He whom the Son sets free, he shall be free indeed. Free indeed. So I have to start learning in my freedom to not put my hands on something unless I intend to do it as unto the Lord. Why? Because if I can't do it as unto the Lord, I'm coming back into slavery. So you have to start saying, whatever I do as unto the Lord. So when I go to work, I do it as unto the Lord. Why? Because I'm free. I'm not here out of bondage. See, the enemy's trying to teach us that work is a bondage. That when you go to work, you're in bondage. No, when I go to work, I go as unto the Lord. I go as a worshiper. Why? Because I'm a free person. I'm free. Somebody says, you're trapped in, you can't get out of that situation. I can get out of any situation. Why? Because I'm free. I'm not bound by anything. I'm not bound by anything. I'm free. Let's go to, I told you guys to go to Galatians 3, right? Did we read it yet?
No.
All right, praise the Lord. Then let's do what we came to do. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now go on to verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ. And this I say under the law, which was 400 and 30 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it's no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. He says in verse 14, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So there's a promise of God giving us his Spirit through faith. And when the Holy Spirit comes on us, Acts chapter 1 says that when the Spirit comes upon us, we shall receive power. We shall receive dunamis, that same word that we read, the power of God. That the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. So in Acts chapter 1, he says that power will come upon you. But what we just read in Galatians is that you get this not by law, but by grace. Amen. You get all of this by the grace of God. You get all of this by God saying that Christ has redeemed us. Christ has paid the price for us. And so I need to personalize that and know that Christ has paid the price for me. He's paid the price for me. And because he paid the price for me, I not only have salvation, but I have the whole of healing. I have the whole of deliverance. I have the whole. But what happens is that the adversary comes to us and he does not want to let us go. When God told Moses, he said, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh to set your people free. And Moses knew, Pharaoh's not going to let us go. And God said, he's going to resist, but he's going to let you go. Amen. See, anything that holds something in slavery is benefiting from the slavery. And so when you try to take slave something that's enslaved out of someone's hands, they don't want to let it go. And so as individuals, you need to understand that there are things in your life that the enemy is benefiting from, that he's holding you slavery to. And he doesn't want to let you go. Well, I'm just an angry person. Enemy's benefiting from your anger. Wow. And he wants to keep you right there. Why? Because if he can keep you in that anger, then he can stop you from being what you are called to be. So he will hold you in that anger, even though the cross sets you free. Amen. See, the cross says you don't have to be angry. Why are you angry? God told Cain, when God looks and says, oh, this boy's about to do something bad. Cain, why are you mad? You know, sin's crouched at the door. It wants you, but you should rule over it. That's what God told Cain. But Cain didn't listen to God, and he killed his brother. Why? God saw it before it was going to happen. God sees me before I do something stupid. But you know what God says? Son, you're free. You're not bound by this anger. You don't have to do it. You don't have to give in to that. You don't have to give in to these words. You don't have to give in to saying what you know you should not say right now just because you feel like saying it. You don't have to do that. Why? Because you're free. See, you're acting like your anger rules you, but it doesn't rule you. You're acting like this rules you or that rules you. Look what he says. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus died on the cross as a curse for us. So I'm free. Amen? Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm free. Mm-hmm, yeah, somebody's starting to get a feel for that over there, huh? Uh-huh, come on. I'm free. Now, redemption has five elements. Write these down. Five things you want to remember about redemption. The first thing about redemption is substitution. Jesus substitutes for us. We just read in verse 14 of Galatians 3 that Christ became a curse for us. Substitution. So I'm born under a curse, but Jesus takes the curse for me. So now I'm now set free by the cross. So he who was free became a curse for me. Now I may become free. So I'm first, substitution. Okay. Number two is the promise. He said we have the promise of the Spirit through faith. There's a promise of the Spirit through faith, that God will give us the Spirit. He will give us the Holy Spirit. He's given us that promise to receive that. The third thing is identification. Now, in the cross, there are two families. I said that we were genetically born of Adam. Adam fell and all of us were genetically changed, we all had sin imprinted on us, no matter who you are. So we have the family of Adam. In Romans chapter 5, it says that there's a first Adam, then there's a second Adam. The second Adam is Jesus. And in Jesus, we have now new life. So there's the life of Adam, which is all humanity, and then there's the life of Jesus, which is those who are sozoed. Amen. Those who are saved, those who are delivered, set free. So now we have a choice, because of faith, you have a choice to pick which family you desire to live in. So when I was a child, I went to the Oakland Coliseum, and I've got no money. My grandfather took me to the A's game, and he and I are sitting there, and the guys are walking by with the hot dogs. I want a hot dog. I got nothing in my pocket, right? So I said, man. And then I looked around. I thought, if everybody in here could give me a penny. all of a sudden, little kid, I just, man, if everybody gave me a penny, I'd have, right? So automatically, I'm thinking, you know what? Grandpa, how come you're not this? I should be in the family that where we got everything. If you could choose your family, what would you choose? Okay? Now, I love my grandfather, but man, it would have been nice to get a hot dog that day. But in Christ, we have a choice. Whose family do we live in? Do we live in the family of Adam? Or do we live in the family of God through Christ? Identification. Who do you identify with? Who do you identify with? See, in Christ, I identify with Christ. But I identify with Christ for salvation. But now he said, now that you've identified with me, can you identify now with me for healing? Can you now identify with me for provision? Can you now identify for me with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, with the knowledge of the industry you work in? Can you identify me with those other things that are beyond just salvation? Can you identify with me for divine understanding, for discernment? Can you identify with me to receive those things, which is now our faith being stretched, our faith being expanded, to not just be the faith of salvation, but the faith of total sozo. Wow. The faith of total healing. It's a new understanding, but we have the choice of identity. Who will we identify with? The fourth thing is revelation. So once you know who you identify with, then now God is free to start revealing things to you. Because I guarantee you this. Remember, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, those who don't believe. But if I don't believe in salvation, I surely do not believe in any other deeper revelation that you have. If I don't believe for salvation, I sure don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I don't believe in faith, because revelation is progressive. Yeah. Revelation has to begin at the point of the cross, and then revelation begins to operate from there. When we settle that Jesus is Lord, when we settle that I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, now I am free for God to reveal more to me. Amen. But if we don't grasp the revelation that's before us, God is not at liberty to grant more revelation. So I found myself off track in an area of life. And I'm just being a knucklehead about following the word. I've got my own determination how I'm going to do something. And I keep praying for God to give me more revelation, and I never hear any revelation. I keep on praying. And then one day, just as clear, I just heard a little voice. It just said, I can't show you more till you use what I showed you. Why are we asking God for Donald Trump wisdom when God's saying the borrower is the slave of the lender? But Lord, I want to operate. I'm trying to teach you how to operate with a foundation before you go up to the higher things. Because if you build on false foundations, it's coming down anyway. Revelation, progressive. Understand, God's revealing more things. Now, revelation has two things, and I want to get this closed so we can get this. Revelation falls into two areas that God is concerned with providing revelation for us. The first area is the area concerning anointing. Okay? Anointing. The promise of the Spirit brings revelation concerning God's anointing. And again, anointing means God's power on you to do something specific. Okay? Anointing is not a chill. Anointing is not a dance. Ooh, yeah, I feel the anointing. That's not what anointing is. That's emotion. And it's good. That's fine. There's no problem with that. I'm not mad at nobody for that. But anointing, a true biblical anointing, is something that comes on you for a purpose. To fulfill a specific purpose. Okay? So I'm going to turn to this real quick. You can write it, Isaiah chapter 2. We talked about this a little bit so far, but I want to read you the elements of the anointing. There are specific elements of the anointing that we want you to be aware of. Okay? Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord, or the anointing, shall rest upon him. Okay, so when the Spirit of the Lord rests upon somebody, there's an anointing that rests upon a person. And this is what it does. He shall give you the spirit of wisdom, of understanding, counsel, might, spirit of knowledge, the fear of the Lord, and his delight in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes. So the final thing is discernment. So the anointing comes on you to give you knowledge, wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, the fear of the Lord, and discernment. That's what the anointing comes to do. So when we're talking all this about the cross and all this other stuff, we want to remember that God wants to give us revelation that we are in the family of God to have his Spirit rest upon us to equip us with knowledge, wisdom, understanding. When you go through the Bible and you see everywhere an anointing comes on somebody, there's never one time in the anointing that there's somebody going to dance. Only time is Saul. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon him and he begins to dance and he begins to prophesy. And they said, wow, is Saul one of the prophets? Now this is before he became the king. This is when God came and anointed him. But Saul went off track. Because again, Saul did not understand the anointing. So we have the anointing, and the second thing is blessing. The blessing. I want to read this to you real quick, and I want you to understand this, and then we're going to get ready to close. But I want to really tie this together because I want you to understand that when God starts to minister to us through the cross, he wants to put his anointing on us, and he wants to put his blessing on us. And listen to this. In Genesis, go back to God's original plan. Genesis chapter 2. God created man in his own image. In the image of man created he him. Male and female, he created them. Male and females. Turn to your neighbor and say, male and female. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God said, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God said, here's what I called you to do. My blessing is reflected in, number one, being fruitful. Now, everybody sees fruitful and everybody starts talking about, oh, we got to have some kids. That's one type of fruitfulness. That's one kind. But there are other areas of your life to be fruitful in. Jesus broke it down like this. Jesus said, there's a parable. A man gave talents to three of his servants. To one he gave five, another he gave two, one he gave one. And he said, go and trade in my name. He expected fruitfulness from their trade, from their commerce. God expected them to be fruitful servants or profitable servants. All right, Selah. Fruitfulness does not just mean having kids. Fruitfulness means fruitful at whatever God puts your hand to do, that we become fruitful. It's a command of God. That was his expectation for Adam, that you be fruitful and you multiply. Multiply. What does that mean? Now he's talking about multiplication. Fruitfulness and multiplication were two different things. The expectation from God is that we be profitable servants, that whatever we put our hand to do, we do it as unto the Lord, that we do it with our might, we do it with whatever we have, and let God bless it. Because why? He's called us to be blessed. He said, and God blessed them and said. He blessed them and said. This is how you're going to multiply the blessing. This is how the blessing is going to continue to follow you. This is how the blessing is going to be wherever you go. All right. Keep it there. Think about, let's go. Now, I want to show you. Remember, I want to take you back to, you still got your finger in Galatians? All right, put your finger in Galatians while I read you something else. We're going to close out in a minute, but I want to give you this. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm going to read you this from Genesis chapter 12, and this is God's anointing over Abraham. And God says to Abraham, verses 1 through 3, now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. It was important for him to get out of his father's house, not because there was something wrong with his father, but because he needed to know that God was going to bless him even without support from anyone else. He needed to know that God was the blesser, not his family and his heritage was the blesser, not the city where he came from. That's not the blesser. God is the blesser. Amen. Get out of your father's house. Go to a land I'm going to show you. I'm going to take you away from what you're familiar with, and I'll put you somewhere where you don't even have power. Nobody knows you. Nobody knows anything about you, but you're going to be blessed right here because my hand is on you. My hand is on you. Number two, verse two, I will make you a great nation. I'm going to make a nation out of you even though you don't have any kids. So take your 86-year-old self to this place where I told you to go, and I'm going to make a nation out of you. See, the cross has given us access to the person of God. And this is what God does. God takes people, and God says, with no regard to your circumstance, because I have no need of that. Because I'm the one who can make rivers flow in a desert. I'm the one who can make fruit grow out of sand. I'm God. I can do whatever I please. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You might have a bad name. God said, I'll make your name great. But you don't know, I got a bad reputation. God said, I will make your name great. You put your name in my hands, I will make your name great. Anybody can say whatever they want to say. I know God can make your name great. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I had my last day at work of this organization I was working for. And so they had a little celebration for me, and they came around, and every person that came to me said the same thing. And people say this all the time, but I watched how they were saying it. They said, this place is not going to be the same without you. It's not going to be the same without you here. And they weren't just saying that. You know, people say, I can discern when people, I got the Spirit of God. I can discern when people are saying stuff when they're just saying stuff. But when somebody says, this place is not going to be the same, and they're looking at you and they got tears in their eyes, I think they're serious. Now, it's not me. It's not me. I'm not that special. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. See, it's God. You contain God. That when the blessing's on your life, it's because God is in you. And when the God that you serve is in you, wherever you go, you take the blessing with you. You take the blessing with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, wherever your sole of, it's what God told Joshua, wherever the sole of your foot sets, that land I will give to you. No one will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. No one will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Man, how to walk around with that kind of attitude and be humble at the same time? That's God, amen? Praise God. So we got the anointing, the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Those are all those gifts. That spirit of discernment, we have that. And the blessing, God's favor with us, saying that wherever you go, I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will make you blessed. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. That's God saying what the anointing and the blessing are. Last thing is, I'm going to go back to Galatians. Did you guys get back to Galatians? All right, thank you. Some of y'all got to Galatians. Somebody read out loud Galatians 3, verse 14 for me again. Anybody, take anybody. Amen. Now we just read the blessing of Abraham, of what God said he was going to do for Abraham. I'm get out of your father's house, go somewhere where nobody knows you. I'm going to put you there and I'm going to bless you. And it's not going to be anybody but you. I used to tell Tammy, I said, I read this passage one time. Abraham's people were trying to give Abraham a gift. And he said, nope, I won't take it. I said, well, we want to give you a gift. Nope, I won't take it. Lest you one day say, you made Abraham rich. Abraham said, I'm going to be blessed and rich because God already talked to me. So you know what? I don't need your gift because I'm going to be blessed myself. God's going to bless me. Why? That's understanding. That's the spirit of discernment. That's that anointing on Abraham after God spoke to him. Now, we through the cross have the blessing of Abraham available to us. So the message of the cross as far as redemption is concerned, I have been redeemed to restore me to the position of promise, not of law, not of rules. I've been restored to the promises of God. I have access to the promise of God. Whatever God says in this word is my right to have. Last passage I'm going to give to you. I'm not even going to turn there. The book of John, chapter 1, verse 12. Says, and to them who believed, he gave the right to become the sons of God. See, we started talking about slavery, and when the Emancipation Proclamation is signed, no matter who was for it or who was against it, everyone who was a slave had the right to be free. We have the right to be the sons of God, the daughters of God. We have that right. I was in a bad situation one time with some friends, and my dad's here, so he'll hear this. I haven't told him this one. And we got pulled over in the car, and the police came to the window, and some things were in the car that shouldn't have been in the car with us. And so we had the bright idea, jump out of the car before the officer gets to the car. Right? Sounded like a good idea in the car. So four guys jump out of the car. Cap. Cap says, bad idea, right? Four of us jump out of the car. So immediately, the officer says, freeze. Now, one of my friends decided it was a good idea to scream out, I know my rights. Cap, bad idea. Because he thought he knew his rights, he was willing to do something utterly stupid, absolutely ridiculous, in the name of his rights. Because he believed that he had a right. And I'm telling you that John says to us who believe, we've been given the right to become the sons of God. So how tall are you willing to stand for your right to be the sons of God, to be the children of God? See, the cross makes a way. Redemption makes a way for me to stand and be counted as a child of God and have all access. It is my right. It's not something I got to beg for. It's not something I got to crawl for. It's not something I got to prove to anybody else for. It's something all I have to do is know that God has said, and it's my right to access it. Amen? Amen. Your job for this week? Find your rights and stand up. Amen. Father, we give you praise and glory. We thank you for your word today. We ask that the word would saturate the hearts of every hearer today.